Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details, because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion, it's clothing made with purpose by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Football on Off the Ball.
This might just be modern media, but it feels to me that Arsenal, maybe it's because they haven't won the league for 21 years, but it feels like they get into the running far too early. And maybe that's our fault in the media as well.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Final One Standing by William Hill on Off the Ball. Download the app and play today. 18+ gamblingcare.ie.
All right. You're very welcome along to Final One Standing. We've got Lee Phelps with us. We've got David Wilson with us. We've got Owen Shane with us. Owen, very good of you to show up this week after Aston Villa doing your boys last week. What a triumph. Thank you.
Is this not a preview pod?
Thank you for coming. No, we're going to spend the full 45 minutes looking back on the greatest performance that Aston Villa put in against. And what a way to win it. What a heartbreaking, gut-wrenching defeat for your boys.
And they really...
against my boys, just in case anybody doesn't appreciate exactly what's going on here.
Well, and they really... Woo! They really franked that form by getting a scratchy win against Basel.
Hey, you back it up. You roll them all together. Yeah,
they're going very well.
Wow, mealy mouth. Look at you. Whoa, what a loser. Lee, how are you?
I'm good. I'm enjoying this. I'm enjoying this banter. What a game it was, by the way. Just like, I don't want to kind of rub any more salt in the wounds. But the thing that got me about the game was the fact that this wasn't one where like Arsenal were off form. I thought they played really well, to be honest. But the way Aston Villa went about the job was like the most impressive thing. Just the attitude. It's like, it felt like I'm a big boxing fan. It felt like, you know, a world title fight where two boxers are going in. One is a big underdog, but he's got heart galore and can fight as well, and just kept going. Yeah, brilliant. I thought a draw would have been a fair result, but what scenes at the end. Amazing. Yeah. And great to keep, for the neutrals, great to keep the title race a bit more open as well.
I think all the neutrals were delighted when the goal went in, because if Arsenal were just to streak away, it does remove an element of drama as the season goes on. While we're all going to be very interested in see who is actually going to qualify for the Champions League, or the relegation might be pretty interesting this year in a way, you do need a title race, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And the odds have been changing quite a lot, like over the last few weeks, but Arsenal have just been getting shorter and shorter all the time. But that just closed it up a little bit. And obviously, it also brought Aston Villa in from 66-1 pre-match to 25-1 post-match, same price as Liverpool, and a bit shorter than Chelsea now as well. It looks like a two-horse race from a betting point of view at the moment. But, you know, I'm not saying Villa can win the title, but, you know, it's interesting how many teams will have a say in this title race.
And I think that speaks, I would say, largely to the quality of the middle tier of teams. And maybe Villa are the best of those, or maybe they're just clinging on to the top tier. And we'll see over the next couple of years if this is sustainable. But almost everybody in the league has several good players who are capable of winning a match, not entirely on their own, but close enough to it. And that's why these games suddenly, otherwise, if Arsenal went on one of those runs and started to look invincible, teams were getting beaten before they actually took the field against them, which is what happens when City go on their runs. And I think it's really important that that doesn't happen for the league.
But is what happened last Saturday not a consequence of what's happened in the previous couple of weeks? Like, Arsenal didn't go to Villa Park looking invincible because Chelsea had taken points off them in their backyard with 10 men. Sunderland had taken points off them in their backyard. Arsenal have to go to Everton in a couple of games. They have to go to Bournemouth in January as well. Their away form is awful at the moment. They potentially, there's talk of Saliba playing this weekend. I doubt he will. He could be back for that Everton game, but they're still going to be down Gabriel for the next little while. Mosquera is still out, and those central defensive injuries have taken Arsenal from a potentially streaking away Premier League champion to a sort of complete dead heat between themselves and Manchester City. or potentially worse than Manchester City. If you look at the form table,
yeah.
Since the Arsenal defensive injuries have come in, I'm not sure where they sit, but they wouldn't be top of the table.
Yeah. It's a fair point. And I suppose they thought that they had catered for that by signing some players and having...
And one of them gets injured himself.
And having those players who can play, who are hybrid centre-back slash full-backs. Anyway, they've got Wolves this week, so it's a get-right game.
That really would be crisis on if that weren't 3 points.
Yeah. It 100% will be 3 points, he says.
Yeah.
With a big hostage to fortune trying to tempt fate. Lee, I did want to talk to you about the next Premier League manager to leave odds, because I was like, I just wonder what the story is with this. Because I'm looking at some games and thinking, well, say Wolves were to get hammered, would they go, look, Rob, you know, you're a club legend and we love you and thanks very much for giving up a great job to come here, but really sorry, mate. I was like, oh, that's a possibility, is it? And maybe that Daniel Farke, that little renaissance they've just had, maybe Leeds will be concerned about that. And Thomas Frank has just had a little bit of a renaissance the last couple of weeks. Yeah.
No, absolutely. All those things. I mean, I think starting with Rob Edwards, he's 12-1 to be the next Premier League manager to leave his job with us at William Hill. And I think...
Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details. Because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion, it's clothing made with purpose by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
I thought Wolves were down before he started the job. 2 points, you don't see that kind of, you know, comeback in a season from having 2 points, you know, and they've still got 2 points. So I think maybe they were planning for championship football with him in mind as well. You know, he's proved that he can manage in that division. So yeah, he's 12-1, looks fairly safe. Although, you know, the time span of managerial and the stability around it, it's just a joke at the moment, isn't it? Arnie Slot's the odds-on favourite, 10-11 to be the next Premier League manager to leave. Obviously a good result in the week in Europe again, but they did that against Real Madrid, didn't they? And then they couldn't kind of come back to the Premier League and show that form in the league. Scott Parker's next at 7-2, which again, you know, you think, well, if the form continues the way it is, I think it's a big match for them this weekend, a must-win match. If the form continues, do they think, well, let's try and get someone in, you know, in the new year to have a, you know, half a season blast at trying to keep them in the league? As you said, Leeds United, Daniel Farke was the odds-on favourite ahead of Slot, but 9-2 now after their 4 points from those three games. Man City, which obviously they didn't manage to win, but they showed up in that game. The Chelsea win, the Liverpool draw, of course. And then you've got Thomas Frank at 11-1. And then you jump up after Rob Edwards, you go to Marco Silva, who I think is kind of like... A bad run for Fulham, and suddenly that price will come down. But they've done all right recently, and then Amorim at 14s as well.
And sorry, the other side of this, it is the next manager to leave. So if Marco Silva was to get a job somewhere else, that would also, he'd win that race. It would reset. Am I right in that?
Absolutely. Yeah. To leave in whatever form. It's not. I mean, obviously, it's commonly termed the sack race and all that sort of stuff in the media. But yeah, this is just a leave in whatever way.
Yeah. I was shocked that Slot was odds-on favourite at this stage. Mm. Has that happened in the aftermath of Salah? Was that a significant? No. All right.
Okay. No. It was all, you know, around the form, basically. He was him, and I don't think he ever quite went below Daniel Farke in terms of the being odds on favourite. But ever since Leeds started winning and or picking up points, and Liverpool have been fairly ordinary still. I know they're unbeaten in four now, but still pretty ordinary. And I guess the Salah thing didn't help. But then he's come out strong, hasn't he, to be fair? Like, you know, you almost feel like maybe it's galvanised his position, the fact that he came out and he fronted up and he was fairly strong and very honest in his, you know, in the way he's speaking. But you can't get away from the fact, whatever you say about yeah, unbeaten in four. Okay, one of those games was at West Ham and they were down to 10 men. They drew against Sunderland at home, and that 3-3 draw at Leeds, when you're 2-up and 3-2 up, it's just not good enough. And obviously three successive losses before that. When you look at this run of form now, going back to, you know, that first loss against Crystal Palace in the Premier League, 2-1, it's been pretty bad since then. You know, they're obviously out of the title race. Obviously, the Champions League's still an option, isn't it? And I mean, yeah, Liverpool fans are, you know, are divided in whether they want to keep him or want to let him go. You would think you'd give him the respect to try and win a trophy this season. He won one last year and he won the big one, didn't he? So
I actually kind of feel Slot's in a stronger position than he was 6 days ago. Like at the full-time whistle at Elland Road, you think to yourself, well, he is definitely going to be the next manager sacked. And then post Salah, to quote Didi Haman, you either get the sack with Salah or you keep your job without Salah. I know it's not that black and white, but I definitely think the way in which the club, and that is important, has dealt with this probably strengthens Slot's position a touch. It doesn't mean he's not the most likely to lose his job next, but it just strengthens his position a touch. And you look at some of their fixtures coming up as well. Like, I mean, they've got Wolves in 2 games' time. If you can get to that Wolves game, then he'll be great. And I think they've got Leeds as well on the 1st of January. It's tomorrow week. They go to Tottenham tomorrow week. That is just an absolute corker. Like, that could go any way. It could be the worst game of all time. It could be the best game of all time. And there might be no managers left at the end of it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And like, you just wonder, like, speaking to a couple of Liverpool fans, you know, you've sensed over the past few weeks that Wirtz is starting to find his feet a little bit and kind of played him, you know, at the kind of point of that kind of diamond, if you like, and just behind Isak. You wonder if he can start to play. Came on for Isak and thought was very good against Inter Milan. Obviously, it's a really good win, you know, away, winning 1-0 away from home. He needs his players to step up now, doesn't he? You know, he needs Isak to start finding goals. He needs Wirtz to be playing well. Szoboszlai's been great all season, but all those players who won the title last season, Salah apart at the moment, you know, they need to up the game. Simple as that, really.
Just on the Champions League odds, Lee, I just see you've got Liverpool here 10-1. Like, could this be like a 2005 season where they're actually really bad in the Premier League and then they can kind of put some results together in Europe and actually go on and win the Champions League?
Well, it's hard to do both, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, it's not, you know, not many teams can fight on those two big fronts. So, yeah, I guess in your mind, if you're a player, you probably would think, yeah, all right, we might be out of the Premier League, but you treat every Champions League match, you know, as positively as you could. You do wonder what the difference in level is now, don't you, between the Premier League and the Champions League? Because during this spell of poor form from Liverpool, they've beaten Real Madrid and looked fantastic, remember, in that week when that week was kind of like they beat Villa and they beat Real Madrid, but around it there was kind of like some really indifferent performances. And then they go to Inter Milan and win 1-0 whilst they're in the midst of a bit of a slump. So you do wonder, don't you? But yeah, it's probably a decent price, 10-1, if, there's a big if here, if they can do what I just said and start finding some form and finding some goals, because, you know, it's a bit like City last season. How long do you trust them for? Can they get it back?
In the end, City qualified for the Champions League and rebuilt their team on the fly and are now not back to being all-conquering, but are pretty close to it. So something similar might be happening in
I think the Paris Saint-Germain example last year is a good one, given how they were languishing in the Champions League, and there was some Dembele beef with Luis Enrique as well. A little milder compared to the Salah situation, but they managed to solve their infighting to become clearly the best team in Europe. So there is an example.
Yeah. And look, in one-off games, Liverpool have beaten Arsenal, haven't they, this season? You know, it's like, you look at Arsenal's losses, and one of them was to Liverpool. You know, can they beat Bayern Munich in a one-off game? Yeah, they can beat City. And, you know, so PSG, obviously, in their Barcelona, you know, they're nothing to be worried about. So, yeah, I think 10-1, when you look at it, is, it's a risk, but it's a big price, isn't it, for a team who we know are capable of beating anyone on the day at top form.
David, you were one of the ones leading the calls for the dropping of Salah. Has it worked?
I think it has worked. I think they're always going to be Inter with or without Salah during the week. Like, I think the strength of the Premier League teams is probably perhaps why maybe the Premier League teams are a good punt for Champions League, to win the Champions League this season. Slot kind of spoke in his post-match after the game away and said that they've added another midfielder in and they've looked a little bit better with the ball. I still think there's serious question marks defensively and in the structure of the team as well. But I think I think Slot is in this position now where he is the man tasked with kind of transitioning the team to a new era. Mm. So Van Dijk obviously signed a new contract. His form hasn't been good. And Salah obviously signed a new contract as well, and his form has really been awful. So is Slot going to be the fall guy for maybe the next guy coming in after that? And is that next guy Xabi Alonso? Like, this is always such a difficult part in the rebuilding of a team. That's why Sir Alex Ferguson was such a great manager, that he could kind of replenish the team quite often. And Guardiola's kind of done that as well over the last couple of years. Obviously spent a lot of money as well. But is there a world where Slot leaves, Xabi Alonso comes in and kind of reaps the benefits of the good work of getting rid of the older players?
Mm. He's 6-4, Xabi Alonso, favourite to be the next Liverpool manager. Jurgen Klopp 7-2, and Klopp was the favourite until, you know, obviously the last few days. Oliver Glasner 4-1, Donny Areola 15-2, Gerrard 10-1, and then 12-1 and bigger the rest. So yeah, Xabi Alonso, yeah, you'd be a bit nervous, wouldn't you, if you were Slot? You know, you're thinking, but like, I honestly think, I'm not a Liverpool fan, obviously, so, you know, I've got a skin in the game, but I mean, just out of pure humanity, you've got to give the guy respect he deserves. Whatever you think about Klopp and what team he left behind, he's still, you know, other managers have come in. Look at Manchester United, it's a great example about Fergie's ability, but look what happened to them after he left. They're still suffering now, whereas Liverpool managed it and got Slot in. He won the Premier League despite the problems that he could have encountered with a legendary manager leaving the club. He deserves to try and win another trophy this season. If they ended up winning a cup or the Champions League, obviously Champions League, it goes into the upper echelons of Liverpool managers. But if they win a cup, that's not it's still a successful season, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't think it's not outrageous. Under all of the circumstances, I don't think it would be outrageous if they won a cup for him to keep his job next year. And people were like, oh yeah, he managed the terrible situation with Jota and the transition away from it being Mo Salah's team to somebody else's team.
Yeah, the only thing with Salah, I thought maybe they could have done differently. And obviously, I'm no one to advise, but like just from the kind of like, you know, the communications side of it, I wondered why they didn't just come out and said, look, Mo Salah's going away to the African Cup of Nations. We need to, you know, find a team that we can cope with the games while he's gone. So we're going to rest him for a couple of games before that. There was a way of spinning this a little differently to just dropping him and letting him kind of like stew on it, there must be some mismanagement in there somewhere, I guess, of Salah.
Yeah.
Unless he's trying to engineer a move away. But like, it just felt like DEFCON's like literally almost upon us. You could have made that a bit easier, I think.
They both could have done that though. So I think they've reached the point of breakup, and neither one of them, eventually, Mo Salah was provoked into saying, okay, I want to break up with you. But Liverpool bottled the phone call. They're like Rory McIlroy texting Caroline Wozniacki, I'm really sorry about this. It's over.
I do think Liverpool are going to need a big second half of the season for Slot to save his job, though. It could constitute a cup. Like, even just looking back at the 2020-2021 season, like, Liverpool finished third that year. They managed to rally and get into the top three of that year's season, which was a very good finish. Like, they lost Van Dijk that season. And that was a massive setback. And like, obviously, they've had to deal with the grief and the on-pitch loss of Diogo Jota. And it seems maybe the on-pitch loss of Mo Salah as well this season.
And Luis Diaz.
Yeah.
You know, there's like, it's a big transformation in the team.
Yeah.
And so when you say a big second half of the season,
they need to do what Klopp did in 2021.
Qualify for the Champions League.
Yeah.
And then it's like, okay, grand, and then the season resets. So if you're not, as we've established, you don't set the prices. But say Arsenal win the league and Man City finish second, and we're starting next season off. Liverpool are not like massive underdogs to win the league next season with this squad. They're short priced third favourites.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I completely agree with that. Yeah, look at the team they've got.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're Liverpool, surely you'd be thinking, right, yeah, we're going through a slump, but like I said earlier on, if the Premier League is out of our reach and we'll fight and fight and fight, Champions League is the main. Champions League and the FA Cup are our main focuses. We go for one of those.
They're playing Brighton 3:00 on Saturday, and they're short price favourites. I don't know, because I had to pick in the off the ball final one standing league. I still have Liverpool.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to do it, but I'm not sure. I picked somebody else now and I might change my mind. Mick is not here today. He's off studying the form, trying to decide who he's going to pick because he's still in the half a million league.
It's crazy, yeah. Isn't it?
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. 736 players left, I think, in the 500,000 euro. Yeah, unbelievable. And it's really interesting looking at the, I just asked for the very latest stats on who's picking who so far. It's an interesting week because Fulham take 39% of the picks. Burnley take 16%. So that game is going to be huge for Final One Standing this week. Whoever wins, or if it's a draw, obviously then, you know, a chunk of people go out, over 55% of people go out then. Brentford have taken up 14% of the picks, 9% for Sunderland, 9% for Forest. The most interesting thing I saw in this list, though, is that two people have still got Arsenal.
Wow.
Two people in round 16 are picking Arsenal to beat Wolves. I mean, they'll be sat there praying for draws and losses for a few of these. So it really gets down to the nitty gritty. So yeah, it's fascinating. I mean, some of the other leagues, obviously we've been releasing leagues every week. That's the original and the biggest, but we've got 50,000 euro leagues, 20,000s, and some of those are down to like 27 people in those. So there could be a winner of one of the leagues this weekend, even if it's not the big one just yet. But yeah, we're expecting to be paying out some money over the next, before Christmas anyway.
The Sunderland Newcastle one, that is Mick's pick. He's picking Sunderland this week. So,
Wow.
Sunderland unbeaten in the last 9 league games against Newcastle. Like, they have a great record against Newcastle.
Yeah, they have. Yeah.
Like, I think we can remember all those games from, like, I'd say like 2013, 14, 15 of like Paolo Di Canio, and I think David Vaughan scored an absolute screamer for Sunderland up in St James's Park as well. Like, it's a cracking game. I know the last game between the two sides was an FA Cup game last year and Newcastle won 3-0 at the Stadium of Light, but I think it's a really, really interesting game, and Sunderland are going to, this is the last game that they have the 7 players that are going off to AFCON on Monday, so...
Oh yeah, their slump is incoming.
Yeah, like, is this the time, probably Mick, hopefully for his sake, has picked a good time to pick them.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, it's a brave pick, isn't it, in a derby, but I mean, I think they're overpriced. The 9-4, it's kind of disrespectful in a sense, because look what they've done. And like you say, that history of the fixture as well, and look where they are. You know, they've been doubted a few times and they keep coming back. Any team that can score 2 goals against Arsenal has to be respected. I think both teams will score. And I think Newcastle, the fact that Newcastle were away in Germany in that 2-2 draw, in a tough game against a good side, that has to count for something, doesn't it? That has to count for some fatigue in a fully charged atmosphere at the Stadium of Light, when, you know, it's got to, that's got to take something out of you as well. So I can see both teams scoring. I wasn't going to necessarily come down on the side of either team. I fancied a draw. I mean, it's boring, I know, but what I do think is you can expect cards in this one. In that FA Cup game, which was finished 3-0 to Newcastle, didn't it? When Sunderland were in the Championship. There were 6 cards in that game. Anthony Gordon got one of them, and we know that in a fully charged atmosphere, he's got a switch that sometimes gets flicked and he can't do anything about it. I remember the red card he got against Liverpool earlier this season in August, I think it was, wasn't it? Yeah, in August, yeah. So, I expect cards. Fingers crossed for Mick. Come on, Sunderland, for Mick.
Yeah, Newcastle have a really bad way of form as well this season. Like, I think it's 1 win in 8 or 9 games. Like, they beat Everton a few weeks ago 4-1, but that was a bit of a freak result. Like, their way of form has been terrible.
Yeah, it started to improve a touch.
Yeah.
Hasn't it? Like, you know, even in the week at Leverkusen, they take the 2-2 draw, I think, when they were winning 2-1, obviously, until the equaliser came. But, like, yeah, it's probably improving a bit. But that's why I think the 9-4 for Sunderland at home is a decent price.
Yeah.
As long as they've got the goals to, you know, as long as they can muster the goals, I think Newcastle will score. So as long as Sunderland can get a couple of goals, then yeah, Mick should be into round 17.
Yeah, that is incredible. Yeah.
What happens at the end? Is it a split pot?
If it goes all the way through the full 20 rounds, then yeah, the pot gets split. I mean, you think though, by now, I know I mentioned those Arsenal players have still got, 2 of them have picked Arsenal, but you are getting down to your Wolves and your Burnleys, and you're going to have to pick Wolves at some point, aren't you? So it's like, you know, at some point, not everyone, I mean, it's going to be fascinating to see who's got like any big teams left. But yeah, you're going to have to pick them at some point. So that's when it comes down to when I think we'll see the big, this weekend as well. I mean, like I said, the fact that, you know, over 55% of people have got either Burnley or Fulham, and it could well be a draw that game. That takes a chunk out. So
imagine if like the two people who have Arsenal don't pick Arsenal this week. It's like Alan Sugar and Tim Sherwood are the two players left. They just despise Arsenal so much they just won't pick them in Final One Standing.
It's a fascinating game. I mean, we're surprised it's gone this long, but it's just down to results, isn't it? And you can't really predict it. You know, obviously we have, you know, there are maths geniuses who work in kind of the betting world, but you know, we haven't been able to predict when this would go. I think people have managed to latch on to home teams. The main tactic seems to have been, and I think Mick employs this as well, is that you back confident home teams. And that's what people have done. And then when you look at it, they've won, you know, and they've, people have been able to time it. So when Forest's form turned positive, they landed on the...
Oh. The line has just dropped there. The lack of draws this season is the other thing. Like, you think of Liverpool having no draws for the first 12 games of the season.
Yeah.
Wi-Fi has gone down everywhere, it seems.
Oh, has it? It's on our side. Ah, very good. Okay. Just in the building. See, we're having some work done. Yeah. We have the painters in. And somebody's obviously unplugged something important.
Yeah.
The Final One Standing by William Hill on Off the Ball. Download the app and play today. 18+ gamblingcare.ie.